Well, let us turn in our Bibles this morning to the book of Genesis, chapter 1, first book of the Bible, of course, Genesis, chapter 1, and verse 3. Genesis, chapter 1, verse 3. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Our subject this morning is the importance of light. Well, I thought it would be appropriate and fitting for us to begin this new year at the very beginning of the Bible and the first recorded words of God in the Bible, "Let there be light." And well, of course, it goes without saying that when we read these words, we believe these words, this creation account that has been rejected by the world, rejected perhaps even by many Christians. But when we say that we are Bible believers, it means that we are Bible believers. And we believe in every part of the Bible, not just some parts. We believe in every part of the Bible, including the very beginning of the Bible. And the account that is presented to us here, that God created the heaven and the earth. It wasn't by chance. It wasn't by random processes over millions of years. We don't believe that because we know that the scientists can be wrong. We know that science can't always be trusted. We've seen that in the past year. What happens when you follow the science, but the word of God can always be trusted. This is a more sure word. This is trustworthy. This is truth, that God created the world and all that is in the world, the heavens, the universe, the sun, the moon, the stars, everything. God has created them all. And of course, he created us, created man, in the space of 6 days and rested on the seventh. And God's first act of creation is what we read here in verse 3. The first act is to give light. "Let there be light," says the Lord. And well, there are 4 points I want to make and to apply about the creation of light, about the splendor of light and the importance of light. And God willing, in these applications, we will be granted a greater understanding of the great message of the scriptures, the central message of the Bible, the gospel message. Well, the first point I want to make is that light is essential to life. Light is essential to life. Before life could be given, God said, "Let there be light." Before the seas, before the land, before the plant life, before the animal life, light had to be given first. Light was essential before all the rest could come in to existence. Life had to begin with light. That is when life begins, when light appears. Light is the start of life. We see it here. "Let there be light." That has to be in place, and then life can begin. And well, this teaches us, even from the very outset, we can understand this. It's a principle that we see every day, of course. Life starts every day when light appears, when the sun rises, when we see the light entering into our rooms. Well, then we awake. Then life begins. Then the world starts to come to life. We're all sleeping during the night. We're all slumbering. But when the light appears, then that signals the beginning of life in the world. The world will start to work. The world will start to be active, but that light must appear first. Light is the beginning of life. It is essential to life. And well, this is how the gospel works. Life, true life, it begins with the gospel. It begins with that gospel light entering into the soul. Before we hear the gospel, we are asleep. We're asleep. Our souls are asleep. The most important part of us, they're in a state of slumber. They're knocked out, as it were. Our souls are as good as dead without that gospel light that enters in and wakes us up before that spiritual life begins. And well, we read in the scriptures that this is the effect that the word of God has upon us. Psalm 119, for example, the entrance of thy words giveth light. The entrance of the word of God gives light to the soul. Nothing else in this world can give light to the soul. Yes, we can gratify our flesh and our bodies and our bodily appetites, but it's only the word of God that can give light to the soul. The entrance of thy word giveth light. Nothing else can. And well, when we read the word of God, well, then it's like our souls are awakened. Then we can suddenly realize what's going on in the world. We have a greater outlook. We have a greater sense of spiritual things, a sense of eternity. We realize that life isn't just about this world. Life isn't just about this world, this earth. Now we know that there is an eternity. Now we know that there is a heaven. We read, well, in this first verse, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Not just the earth, so that we just live for the earth and we don't think about anything else. God created the heaven and the earth. Do you think about what happens after this life? Or are you just earthly things? Just my job, just my relationships. This earth, this world is not all there is. God created the heaven and the earth. There are two sides to this, but it's only when we read the word of God that we are enlightened. The entrance of thy words giveth light. Otherwise, our souls are utterly ignorant of these things. They are knocked out. They are unconscious, but they begin to live only when there is light. Gospel light. And so light is essential for true life to begin. Just as we see it here, the first thing that is mentioned before the rest of life can come in, God said, let there be light. But light, of course, was essential to see. That's an obvious point. If you don't have any light, you can't see. If we were all sat here in darkness, we wouldn't be able to see one another. Yes, we could maybe call out to one another, but we couldn't see one another. We couldn't see what we looked like. We couldn't see our faces. If you want to see somebody clearly, if you want to see somebody properly, you put the light on. Of course you do. And so when we read these words here, God said, let there be light, and there was light. This tells us something very important about God. Let there be light. When God says this, it tells us that God wants to be seen. He wants to be seen. Let there be light. He wants to be seen. He wants to be known. God is not a God who wants to hide away from us. God is not someone who remains in the shadows and is unknown to his people. God wants to be seen. Let there be light. And this is why he's given us his word. We can know God, we can see God through his word, through the scriptures, through the Bible. We see God. And well, the word of God teaches us so many things about God. We know, well, first of all, that he is our creator. That's our first sight of God. He is our creator. He's the reason why we live and breathe and move and have our being. We know that God is an almighty God. We read of the glorious things he does. Even in the Old Testament, he brings the Israelites out of Egypt. Egypt, the Egyptians who were so powerful. What kind of army can bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Slaves in Egypt. No army on earth, but God can, because God is almighty, God is all-powerful. He is the God for whom nothing is too hard. We see in the word of God his almighty power. We see that, he's all-knowing. We see that he's all-seeing. We read that in the word of God, in the Psalms. We read about his holiness. In the Ten Commandments, in the law of God, we see God's holiness, how holy he is. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not take the Lord's name in vain, not even once. How holy. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not lie. This is the holiness of God. This is how we see God in the word of God. We don't have to guess what God is like. We don't have to invent what God is like. We can see him clearly in the word of God. And we see all of these attributes, his almighty power, and particularly his holiness. Well, we read in 1 John chapter 1, we read that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. No darkness in God. Why is there no darkness in God? Because there's no sin in God. There's no sin in God. You know, darkness in the Bible, it represents sin. It symbolizes sin. And, that makes sense to us. You know, the worst sins, or generally speaking, the worst sins are committed in the dark, under the cover of darkness. What does the world do when the sun goes down, when darkness comes upon the world? Well, it's always in the darkest hours of night. Crime is committed, murders, stabbings, burglaries, robberies. That's normally in the evening, in the nighttime. That's when crime occurs, in the darkness. Sin equates to darkness. And of course, some people, they love the darkness. They like to indulge their sins in the darkness. You know, when I was in the working world, when I was having a normal job, as it were, a secular job, you would see some people working alongside you. They'd be very well behaved in the day, in the daytime. But in the nighttime, when they go out and they go to the pubs and so on, well, they would behave outrageously and scandalously, and they'd get drunk and so on. They couldn't wait for the darkness to come so then they can let their hair down and commit all kinds of sins, indulge their sins. When the darkness comes, you see, that's when we like to sin. So it's no surprise to us that sin in the Bible, it's represented with darkness. Sin and darkness go together. But dear friends, I don't even need to say this. You ought to know this. Christian people are called out of the darkness. When we are saved, when we are born again, it is likened to coming out of darkness into God's marvelous light. That's what Christian people do. Christians are those who have seen their sin. They've seen their sin in the light of the Word of God. That's what's happened to them. You know, sometimes you can go into a room that looks very clean, looks very nice, but then there will be a shaft of sunlight will come into the room. And that shaft of sunlight, you can see all the dust particles. You can really see how unclean the room is. It looks clean to us if you look at it, but in the light, you can see all the dust and all the impurity of the room. Well, that's exactly how the Word of God works for us. When you think of yourself, you think you're all right. You think you're a good person. But when you read the Word of God, when that light comes into your life, then you really see your sin. I never saw it before. It's like that shaft of light revealing the dust. Now you can see your sin, your selfishness, your pride, your lust. I never saw it before. But a Christian, because he lives in the light, he sees it now, and he has to come away. He has to walk in light. He has to be a child of the day. So these things, all of these things are presented to us when we consider this verse, let there be light. But dear friends, light is also hope. Light speaks of hope. When somebody says there is light at the end of the tunnel, well, that means that there is hope. Light at the end of the tunnel, there's hope at the end of this situation, hope at the end of this trial. And we sincerely hope that there's light at the end of the tunnel in this particular situation in which we find ourselves. But it speaks of hope. Light is hope. Well, what is the great hope in the Bible? Or rather, I should say, who is the great hope in the Bible? Well, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. And well, many of you know that the Lord Jesus Christ, well, he is represented as light. He is described as light in the scriptures. John chapter 1 and verse 9, he is the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed, later on in the Gospel of John, the Lord himself said, I am the light of the world. The Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the world. That's how he presented himself. And so when we trust in him, there is light at the end of the tunnel. For each and every one of us, there's light. Light at the end of the tunnel. Light at the end of our lives. You know, normally people don't like to think about the end of their life. They don't want to think about it. It's a dark prospect. Why should I think about that? Aging, getting old, dying, the prospect of the grave, being laid in the dust. I don't want to think about that. That's too dark for me to think about. So we never think about it. We just put it to one side. It's a dark prospect, growing old and dying, but not for a Christian. There's light at the end of our life, light at the end of the tunnel. A Christian knows there's nothing to fear. When we die, we go to be with the Lord. One great preacher, whom I know very well, he always used to say that as soon as the light of this world goes out, the light of the next comes on. There's light at the end of the tunnel. Why? Well, because the Lord Jesus Christ, he has removed the darkness from us. From our lives, he has removed all the darkness. You know, when the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross at Calvary, you know this, for 3 hours, he was on the cross for 6 hours. For three of those hours, there was complete darkness over him. Complete and utter darkness. What does that mean? What does that tell us? It means that he was taking upon himself the darkness of our sins. All of the darkness of our sins was laid upon him, and he was taking the condemnation of our sins. He was taking the punishment for our sin. All of the darkness that we deserved was laid upon him. He has removed our darkness from us so that we may have light, everlasting light at the end of our lives. There's no sting in death for us. There's no darkness of the grave. There's light. Do you know that light in your life? When you think about the end of your life, if you dare to think about it, is there light? Or is there only gloom? Is there only despair? Is there only darkness? Dear friends, come to Christ. My final point, the fourth point about light, and this is solemn. Light is a warning. Light is a warning. You've heard of warning lights, I trust. But you know, light is a warning down throughout history. We think of lighthouses. Why were lighthouses employed and used? Well, a lighthouse on a coast, it was to warn sailors not to sail too close. There are rocks in the vicinity. If you come too close, you will make shipwreck. You will die. You'll be lost in the waves. So the lighthouse, it was a warning. Dear friends, it's the same with the Word of God. There is eternal hope, but there is also that warning. That warning that if we do not heed the Word of God, there will be great consequences. Now, I've mentioned this many times before, but in these words here, we read in verse 4 that God divided the light from the darkness. God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And that was the first day. There was that division, light on one side, darkness on the other. And you know, that which happened on the first day is going to happen on the last day. The last day of this world's history, light will be divided from darkness. On one side will be the children of light, those who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And on the other side will be those who did not trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who did not desire him, those who were not interested, those perhaps who came to church every week and did not listen to a single word, they would be in one group, the children of darkness. But the children of light, they will go to be with the Lord forever. They will know eternal life. They will know eternal light because they trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is life and who is light. Dear friends, what group are you going to be in? Are you going to be counted amongst the children of light or the children of darkness? There's going to be a great division. This word teaches us, this word warns us, light and darkness will not remain together. We remain together in this world, but not in the world to come. So, dear friends, we have to begin this new year with a word of hope, yes, but with a word of warning. You must come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You must seek the light of the world. Don't dwell in darkness this year, because we never know how long we have left, and the darkness will be everlasting if we don't turn to the Lord. Well, these things, they are so important to us. God said, let there be light, and there was light. There is light for us in the gospel. There is still hope for you if you don't know the Lord. But you must come. You must seek his face. You must pray to the Lord and say, Lord, help me to believe. And you will dwell in that everlasting light. Well, may the Lord bless these things to us. Let us turn in our hymn books to hymn number 484. And this will help us as we conclude this morning. Hymn number 484. A hymn of Charles Wesley. Light of the world, thy beams I bless, on thee, bright sun of righteousness, my faith has fixed its eye. Guided by thee, through all I go, nor fear the ruin spread below, for thou art always nigh. Not all the powers of hell can fright a soul that walks with Christ in light. He walks and cannot fall. Clearly he sees and wins his way, shining unto the perfect day, and more than conquers all. I rest in thine almighty power. The name of Jesus is a tower that hides my life above. Thou canst, thou wilt, my helper be. My confidence is all in thee, the faithful God of love. Wherefore, in never ceasing prayer, my soul to thy continual care, I faithfully commend. assured that thou through life shalt save and show thyself beyond the grave, my everlasting friend. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, O Lord, how we thank thee for all the things that we have considered this morning, how we thank thee that thou art the God who is everlasting light. O Lord, how foolish it would be to enter into this year desiring darkness for ourselves, darkness for our souls, and living in danger of eternal loss. O dear Lord, help us to choose Christ, to choose that everlasting way that we may be found in eternal light. O Lord, bless us, we pray, and lead us to true repentance and faith. We ask all these things in our Saviour's name and for his sake. Amen.